Welcome to SCI Asia's podcast on environment and policy in Asia. In this podcast series, we invite experts to discuss the many critical and complex environmental challenges in Asia and how to find solutions through policy and partnerships.
Hello, everyone. I am Dayun Kim, a research associate from SCI Asia. Our episode today is about women environmental human rights defenders and their powerful and inspiring work on the ground that contributes to social and environmental justice.
We have two very special guests with us today, Tammy Alvarez from Sabokahan Unity of Lumad Women and Leah Mai Torres from Center for Environmental Concerns. Both of them are based in the Philippines.
Tammy is joining us from Mindanao Island. There may be issues with audio quality. Please bear with us when you're listening to this episode.
So my name is Tammy Alvarez. I am the current Vice Chairperson for External Relations of Sabokahan Unity of Lumad Women. I am a queer Lumad law student, scholar, and activist from the Manobo Dibabaon tribes. It is my main task to ensure representations, build, and strengthen our alliance work to foster global solidarity, connections, and partnerships so that we as Lumad women are able to connect our plight and aspiration and rise in solidarity with other groups locally and internationally for the broader national and global fight for social justice, true development and genuine peace, and right to self-determination.
Hi, thank you also for inviting me. So I am Leah. I am the executive director of the Center for Environmental Concerns in the Philippines. CEC is a nonprofit organization mainly focused on environmental research, education, policy advocacy, and campaigns. CEC is also the secretariat of the Asia-Pacific Network of Environment Defenders, or APNED, which is a solidarity campaign network of different organizations working on environmental rights and the defense of environmental defenders.
Thank you very much. Let us move on to the first question, which is, please tell us what drives you to fight for the environment and human rights.
As an indigenous person from Lumad Indigenous Tribes of Southern Mindanao, Philippines, what drives me to continue to fight for the environment and human rights is our aspiration to have genuine self-determination and liberation, which is our right. Because as they say, land is life. It is where we practice our traditional dance, singing, and art. It is where we practice our self-governance and collective leadership. It is where we get our food, medicine, and practice our traditional healing. So if we lose it, then we would risk losing our very own identity. And if that happens, where will it go? Room in the cities, become scavengers, and beg for food. And then afterwards, get all the blame and hatred for being poor because we are so-called lazy. And we don't know the ways of living in the cities. I personally know how difficult it is because when we moved to the city, I remember feeling so shocked when I saw an ice water bottle held by my classmate. And in my head, like, I was wondering how on earth did that ice get inside the tiny hole because we didn't have electric appliances in the mountains. And, you know, in our community, everything is shared by the tribe's members. Everyone has to perform their share of responsibility in food production. And I grew up with the constant reminder of my mother not to waste food because it's the fruits of the blood, sweat, and tears of the tribesmen and farmers. And she said that even the clothes we wear are sewn by the workers in the sweatshop, and that we are a society of people and our lives are intertwined and interconnected. Therefore, we have a responsibility to care for each other. But these peaceful lives have been ruined by militarization and corporations who encroach on our lands. And I can still recall the sounds of gunshots reverberating on the ground as we buried our heads in the soil while our house was strafed by the military when I was 5 years old. And I lost the count of the number of times we evacuated, and unbearable that my family was forced to move to an urban poor community in the city. And my experience is not different from the rest of indigenous people, not only in the Philippines, but around the world. And they took advantage of our people's illiteracy and lack of education to steal our lands. That is why we in Sabokahan will continue to fight towards building a society of social justice, true equality, and genuine peace, where the political, socio-economic, and cultural roots of the marginalization and exploitation of women, indigenous peoples, and other oppressed people will be resolved.
Indeed, your movement have been tackling the very roots of marginalization of indigenous peoples, and meanwhile, striving for protection of environment and human rights comes with several challenges. What are some recent issues and challenges that you and your communities had faced?
So one of the major problems that our organization has faced is perhaps the closure of Salugpungan Lumad Indigenous Schools that our organization has built with the support of other IP organizations, NGOs, and other supporters from the cities, and also the enforced evacuations due to intensified militarization. Lumad Indigenous Schools are everything to us because on top of basic literacy, numeracy, and other subjects, in Lumad schools, we develop our knowledge of making herbal medicines and significantly improve our agricultural food production through our knowledge of agroecology. Because over time, we realized that our nomadic old ways are no longer necessary for survival. Because our tribes live off from sustenance, agriculture, and hunting. But this way of life has become impractical due to the shrinkage of available ancestral lands as a result of land grabbing by corporations and land use conversion to monocrop plantations. In Lumad schools, we study and learn about the impacts of climate change and our critical role in protecting our biodiversity, how to respond to various climate crises and make our communities prepared and resilient to various natural and man-made calamities. In fact, our comprehensive knowledge and learnings have been very helpful for us to prepare for evacuations when necessary in times of impending strong typhoons and even militarization. For example, in our village, a certain management system is in place to prepare for various kinds of emergencies, like how do we ensure our food supply for a certain number of days, the preparedness of our medic team, our communication and information team. We even have teams that are in charge of resource generation and fundraising. Because as indigenous people, we were already organized long before, but our collective leadership and management system has improved even more and adapted to our current conditions through our valuable knowledge that we learned from these Lumad indigenous schools. And we hope that someday if our continuous campaign to reopen the schools becomes successful, then we would love our visitors from the cities and other countries to witness this. So there are many strategies that we use to address this challenge. Number one is community organizing, because all of our campaigns and work have always been made to answer to the demands and objective interest of Lumad women and support the overall struggle of the Lumad people in general, because campaigns are a product of a long series of consultations and discussions, meetings with the members. And we don't think that there could ever be any successful campaigns or endeavors without the full support and participation of the Lumad women. Second is connecting our struggles to other sectors through alliance work locally and internationally, because we believe that the struggle to protect the environment and human rights is a struggle of everyone. What we have achieved all this time is something that we can never do alone, because we recognize that the root causes of our displacement and disenfranchisement are the same root causes of suffering for workers, peasant farmers, indigenous people, students, and all sectors of the Philippines and around the world. Third is lobbying and protest actions in order to pressure the government to listen and respond to our just and rightful demands. Because over the years, we've slowly built our strong network of legislators to support our efforts to get various neoliberal policies scrapped because they legitimize land grabbing, development aggression, extrajudicial killings, and human rights violations.
Thank you very much for sharing, Tammy. Defenders utilize these strategies to bring about changes that strengthen environmental and human rights in our societies. Now, Leah, as Woman Environmental Defender, what are the key lessons you want to share that fellow defenders can learn and benefit from?
The most important lesson that we have learned is to work with local communities and serve as facilitators to relate with other communities, networks, organizations, and government entities. It is also the local communities that are in the front lines of the environmental defense and are the most at risk, so we should help them in developing their existing capacities. We should also learn from them and adopt effective strategies as well as share them with other communities. This will help create a national environmental movement and eventually contribute to an international movement to seek ecological and climate justice and hopefully for social transformation.
Thank you so much, Leah. As you mentioned, the importance of engaging with local communities, networks, and different actors across scale. Who do you identify as critical allies to support your work on the ground? And what resources do you and your organization need from these actors?
It is important to gain the support of other civil society organizations from different sectors. This will ensure a strong local unity on environmental issues. Also, institutions such as religious groups and the academe can also help widen the reach of the advocacy. The local government unit, who has direct contact with community members, also have the potential of giving urgent help as well as legislation. At the national level, civil society, other institutions, other national non-government organizations, legislators are also important allies. At the international level, civil society organizations, intergovernmental organizations, UN agencies, and international donors are also helpful. From the civil society organizations, they can help with the advocacy aspect, education and capacity development, and policy lobbying. For legislators, then they can help in terms of passing, amending, or scrapping policies. For human rights organizations, they can help with providing immediate relief and prevention of attacks on environmental defenders. And for international donors, they can help with giving funding for the work of environmental defenders.
Thank you. We also believe that this podcast episode can be an opportunity to share the experiences and insights from our partners, whose works can be more visible and attract more donors and allies who are interested in your work. Do you have anything you want to add and share to a broader audience?
Maybe I just would like to highlight that we can all be environmental defenders, and it's best if we all get involved with the environmental movement, since environmental issues and climate change affects all people. Also, it is through collective action that we can influence positive change. We are really happy with initiatives such as this podcast that helps to reach out to more people. So we commend you for that. And again, thank you for inviting us.
I would like to share that please support our book, We Call Her Inabay, because 100% of the proceeds of this book will go towards supporting Sabukahan's advocacy and our work on the ground. You may follow our book, We Call Her Inabay, Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram for more information on how to order. We are also open to consignment partnerships if you are interested. For more information, you may email us through wecallherinabay@gmail.com. And lastly, I would want to share that the struggle of the Lumad is crucial in the worldwide development justice and self-determination movement, because the Lumad struggle in defense of our ancestral land and protection of the environment is just one example of the many ways in which indigenous peoples, especially indigenous women, are at the forefront of a wider global struggle against extractive capitalism. The wealth of experience that the Lumad have gained through tireless struggle can provide valuable lessons for other movements for social justice at regional, national, and international levels. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for participating in our podcast and sharing your experiences and insights. For our listeners, if you want to know more about their work, please visit the websites and social media channels of Sabukahan Unity of Lumad Women, as well as Center for Environmental Concerns. And please spread the word about their important work on the ground.
Thank you for listening to SEI Asia's podcast on environment and policy in Asia. For more information on these topics, guests, and our work, please visit our website on www.sei.org.